Good afternoon, and welcome to the January 30th edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet. I am here in the studio with Laurent Landis, and Patty is off today. You can friend us on Facebook, download pictures of the show, podcasts of the show at lambdaweekly.com.
You can, if you haven't heard it already, you can listen to last week's shows. We had a lot of hits on that show last week.
I have had more nice comments about the show that we had with George and Jack.
Mm-hmm. The couple has been together for 50 years.
Well, and they'll be back for their 51st.
Wonderful. So, wonderful.
Yeah, they had a good time doing that. They'd never done anything like that before.
Good, good.
So how was your week?
It was good. How was yours?
I had a candle that kind of caught fire.
Oh, no. Oh, no. At your job or at your house?
No, at home. At home. Now, most people would say, well, isn't a candle supposed to catch fire? Well, it was in this glass container, like a candle holder,
mm-hmm.
that was about 4 inches across, you know, round, about 4 or 5 inches high. And it was just on in my room. I've had this thing for like 10 years, and it never occurred to me that this thing was not glass. Apparently, because glass doesn't burn, right?
No.
Okay, but apparently it's plastic. I kind of saw some smoke in the house, and I was looking, what's going on? You know, the fireplace isn't on. You know, it's kind of smoky like a fireplace.
Uh-huh.
I went into my room, and this candle holder, there was about an inch of it left, and it was just flaming. And it was on my wooden dresser.
Oh, wow.
So we got a glass of water, poured it over it, which splattered all over the room. But it had sent out soot. I hope Miguel isn't listening.
I was just about to ask, was Miguel at the house?
Miguel's away,
okay.
But he sometimes listens online. Miguel, turn this off. I can see he would panic. And it just soot all over the place, on my pillows, on my blanket, on all over the walls. Now, one thing I learned, it came right off by washing the wall
mm-hmm.
and vacuuming the ceiling,
because mm-hmm.
the ceiling was black. But one little candle, I mean, soot all over the place. One thing I learned is if you wash the wall, you know, we painted the room maybe 3 years ago, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just wash the portion that's dirty because it's all dirty. And you clean one part here. Well, the part that wasn't sooty was still dirty, and you have to clean that. So the whole, my entire wall, I'm washing my walls and windowsills and blinds and curtains and
all
my
from
clothes
one little candle.
From one little candle. And it is a good way to find cobwebs. Cobwebs that I never knew were there, because I do vacuum up around the corners and everything, because all the cobwebs turn black.
Well, I'm glad you didn't burn the house down.
I'm glad I didn't, too.
You have a lovely home, so
thank
I hate
you.
To have seen it destroyed.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I didn't burn anything, but yesterday, I am sore from yesterday. I completed the Dallas Big D climb.
What is that?
It supports leukemia and lymphoma, mm-hmm. and it's a kind of a race, and you have to go up to 52 stories at the Lincoln Building. I mean the Lincoln Plaza in downtown Dallas.
Get on an elevator.
No, that's the whole point. It's a race, and
you'd get there faster in the elevator.
You would, but so I trained for a couple of weeks, and I made it 52 stories.
Well, congratulations
on
doing something completely stupid and worthless.
And it was good exercise.
It was good exercise, yes. Sure.
So next, I'm going to try and do a marathon.
Uh-huh.
A half
a marathon.
Half
well, that's
marathon.
That's the way to do it. Is to build up.
Build up. I want to try. We'll see.
A marathon, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay. In news this week, Friday, there was a Pentagon press conference.
Mm-hmm.
The two people who were speaking were Under Secretary of Defense Clifford Stanley, who's in charge of the implementation of the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and General James Cartwright. And they were speaking from the Pentagon talking about the review. Remember this review? Remember we had Dave Gaynor on,
mm-hmm.
last June, and Dave was satisfied that at the time, that they really were seriously considering all of the issues, that it wasn't just a matter of repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell, but it was really the implementation. And it didn't bother him or Service Leaders Defense Network, because they felt, well, if we're going to repeal it and there will be good new policies in place, employment policies that include, you know, somebody's transferred overseas, does their partner get to go with them?
Right.
Their husband or wife. It wouldn't just be a partner, I would assume, because we do have marriage in a number of states. It might, you know, would it be just the marriage?
Well, either or.
But what would the government be doing now, and what would the military be doing now for these partners? Somebody is killed in action. Does the spouse get those death benefits? Somebody's wounded. Somebody has access to the military hospital.
Well, not even just the benefits, just even be contacted.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, because, you know, as it stood before the repeal, it wouldn't even contact your same-sex partner.
Right.
Because you couldn't let them know you had a same-sex partner.
And guess how it stands now?
The same.
Same. Right. What they said was, because of DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, we don't recognize on the federal level marriages or partnerships of gay people or lesbian couples. And so, therefore, since we don't recognize it, the only thing that they're doing is repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right.
There will be nothing. So they studied and studied, and basically they're giving nothing.
Nothing. The only difference is you won't be fired.
Right. You won't be pursued. You won't be harassed. You won't be hounded out of the military. Now, last week when George and Jack were here, George was telling the story, because now the feeling is, oh, Clinton put in Don't Ask, Don't Tell. What was he doing? Well, you know, what was he thinking that's so anti-gay? It was an improvement in the policy. George was telling us the story about how in the early 50s, when he was in the military, and this was common, the common way that they did it, they let you serve your 2 years, 3 years, whatever. Then the month he was about to be released from the Army, they arrested him on suspicion of homosexuality. They held him in prison for 6 months. They were about to send him to Leavenworth, but his attorney got him off. And then discharged him with a dishonorable discharge. Dishonorable discharge, you lose a lot of privileges, like voting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A number of other things, pensions, anything else. Access to military hospitals, military medical benefits. All kinds of things that you lose with a dishonorable discharge. Took him 20 years to get that reversed. But so Don't Ask, Don't Tell was really an improvement in that policy that... We're not going to arrest you for being gay, but you can even serve as long as nobody knows that you're gay.
Right.
And part of the policy was, because the name of the policy, the full name is Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue. Nobody was punished for asking, which was equally illegal. Certainly nobody was punished for pursuing, which was equally illegal. And one of the things that came out in this press conference is they're still processing new people under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's going to go away, but we're still processing new people. General Cartwright, what was his answer? Well, because it's still the law. This is why the law needed to change last June.
Right.
Once Congress voted on it, it needed to change in December. Part of the repeal should have been, and if implementation is delayed, we will still not be dismissing people from the military in the meantime. There will be a moratorium on dismissing people for being gay.
Now, has anyone been dismissed?
Not since November, but they're still processing people. Why are they doing that? You get processed, that goes on your military record. I don't care that we decided to drop it because the law changed. Right. You were doing something illegal, and it's on your record before that. End of your military career, I guarantee you. Now, one of the questions that came up was, after the implementation, if somebody charges that my superior did not support my promotion because I'm gay, will that be one of the new regulations? And the answer was, well, everybody will be protected under federal guidelines, So the reporter said, but gays and lesbians aren't included in federal guidelines.
They're not.
And it didn't come out quite in these words, but so they backtracked and they said, you know, that's one of the things that we might have to address and look at. But the one of them said, and the other one said, well, under military regulations, everybody has the right to appeal for any reason, not getting a promotion. If they feel that they've been treated unfairly and it's a personal issue between the person not being promoted and the superior officer who's not promoting him, there are ways to appeal that. And just kind of sounded like, yeah, anybody can appeal, but if you're charging that you weren't appealed and it's because of your race, if it was because of your religion, you'd have a little bit more recourse than
you would.
Than, you know, this officer and I have butted heads a number of times, and I would like an independent person to, and I'm doing it in a very, you know, general way, a very, you know, non-accusatory way. I would like somebody else to evaluate me, and chances are they would, and chances are you will not be promoted. Chances are you'll be transferred somewhere, and then maybe be able to apply for a promotion, but sure doesn't sound like you're going to get much protection as a gay person.
I'm a little confused about the DOMA issue and or even the issue you just brought up, and that's basically the employment.
Don't ask, don't tell.
DOMA and employment protection. Because I've always been under the belief or not belief, everyone's told me that military roles are different from civilian life.
Unless it's convenient for them not to be.
So just because DOMA is a, you know, federal law, why can't the military do what they want to do?
You mean like any employer? You mean the way the State Department has changed some of the rules? You mean the way the Labor Department has changed some
exactly.
The way Homeland Security has changed?
You know, no, we're not included in under the employment non-discrimination federal rules. We're not protected. I tell people that all the time. Well, okay, well, I thought the military could do what they want when it came to that. And I thought that the new guidelines does mention sexual orientation in the military. So I would assume that that would protect us as far as being discriminated against, as far as being promoted, and so forth. Now, I understand about the not recognizing marriages or any type of legal partnerships, but the not being promoted or whatever, I would assume that that would be included.
You know, I think what they were really trying to say is once this goes away, it just won't be an issue. And in the best world,
Of course, it'll always be an issue for somebody.
Right, exactly. And here's an example of where there was a specific question. Somebody asked about what about the chaplains? And pointed out that chaplains were the largest group, largest organized group of people in the military that was opposing the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And the answer was a good but very unsatisfying one. The answer was chaplains practice their own faith, and so there will be no changes as far as rules for chaplains. And I think that's a horrible answer because, you know, you say this all the time. Well, just put in the word black.
Right.
Right?
True.
Okay. Now, what if a chaplain, a minister, a rabbi, a somebody, a priest who's in the military said, I can't help that person, he's black. What if a Muslim who's in the military, an imam who's a chaplain, said, you know, he's Jewish, I just can't help him? That would work at Fort Hood. Fort Hood is huge. You know, tens of thousands of people there, plenty of military chaplains. In the best of all worlds, when you're based here in the United States, what you can say is, you know, I understand your problem, Laron, but there is a rabbi that can work with you better on your Jewish issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so why don't I call Rabbi so-and-so and set you up with him? That's not going to happen in Helmand province in Afghanistan, where
right.
There might be one chaplain for these 1,000 people who are based there, and that one chaplain needs to deal with last rites for a dying Catholic, problems that an Islamic soldier is having, black soldiers, white soldiers, gay soldiers, straight soldiers. And that one, and I'm saying one, I don't know the percentage that they have, but there aren't going to be as many as there are at Fort Hood, certainly.
Right.
They have to deal with everybody. No choice. Right. So to say that there will be no rule changes for chaplains, but what about the chaplain who refuses to serve some soldiers?
And they're saying they won't be forced to, basically.
They're saying there will be no rule changes for chaplains.
Interesting.
So again, the question was, what about a soldier? And in this implementation, what they're doing is there's going to be training.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very unspecific as what they're training them to do.
I heard a little bit different. It sounded to me, and I even used this word, it's more, it sounds like a glorified version of what sensitivity training. You know, what do you do? What does a general do if they see one of their soldiers coming out of a gay bar? Well, that's irrelevant. Now it'll be irrelevant. As long as they're not doing anything that damages military morale, but they can do whatever they want on their free time. So that's not an issue anymore. However, if a gay or lesbian soldier heard some derogatory comments, like, you know, being called the F word and et cetera, that would require some disciplinary action. So
on an even basis with calling somebody the N word.
Exactly.
Somebody, right.
So on paper, this is what it's supposed to be. How is that going to work out realistically? We don't know.
Now, in the press conference, what they were saying is what they're going to be training. They're not. They understand they're not changing people's attitudes.
No.
They understand they're not changing what people believe, especially religiously. They're not changing what people believe, you know, morally, ethically, you know, whatever it is that's their own value system there.
Mm-hmm.
But they said one of the points of the military is we train everybody respect.
Right.
And so the idea is, and I guess this is what it comes down to, what this training is going to be. Is that this group that we used to kick out of the military and arrest, well, all of a sudden we respect these people. And I think that the young kids who are in the military understand that more than the generals. I think this is a bigger retraining for some of the leadership to understand.
And they talked about that specific word. This is actually more of a leadership issue than anything.
Mm-hmm.
They zone exactly in on what you just said. And I don't.
Which is sad.
It is sad. It is sad. But I don't understand. I appreciate this, you know, the sensitivity training that they are doing or will do. But I don't understand why can't the repeal be in effect right now? Let them serve openly right now and train in the process, because that's just like at work.
Delaying tactics.
Yeah, why can't you do both at the same time?
Or why didn't Congress put in a moratorium on kicking anybody out right now while they're implementing? That's the real question. That was the gutless part of this repeal.
I don't know. Maybe there was maybe part of the negotiations. I don't know.
Could have been.
Could have been.
Anyway, you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis, and we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
KNON.org is your destination on the World Wide Web for information about your favorite community radio station. Listen live to KNON from any computer anywhere in the world with our live internet broadcast stream. There's a program schedule so you can find out when your favorite shows are on, plus information on all of KNON's personalities and formats. Contact us. Leave comments for your favorite DJs. Read their blog posts. Sign up to receive emails about KNON activities. Learn about local music events and be part of a thriving radio community. KNON.org has details on all of KNON's upcoming shows and benefits. An easy and secure way to get your advance tickets online through PayPal. You can get any of our regular premiums online, or just show your support for KNON any day of the year by making a donation on the web to your favorite show at KNON.org.
I'm Christina from the Orange, and I listen to Lambda Weekly every Sunday at noon on 89.3 KNON FM. Goodbye.
And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis. We're just talking news today. Mm-hmm. We were just talking about the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell and how it's going to proceed. The training, by the way, is supposed to begin in February, so that's the beginning of the implementation. They did say that everybody doesn't have to be trained. I think the most telling thing was when they said, somebody asked, well, how is somebody in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, going to be trained if he's in the middle of combat? And they said, obviously, everybody won't be trained before this is implemented, that what we've learned from other militaries that have implemented allowing gays and lesbians into the military is that quickly is better than dragging this out.
Yeah.
So they did learn one good lesson about this. You know, after a while, stop talking about it, just do it.
Right.
But you know, how will you train somebody like that? And they said, well, you know, the general said, well, you know, some people will learn and have their training before being deployed. Other people might not be trained until they're back in the United States. But that doesn't mean it won't be implemented in the meantime. However, what he said, what the undersecretary said was, somebody's in battle. What's really changed?
Right.
And I think that's the most telling thing that we've been saying all along. All they're doing is implementing, not doing something.
That's it.
Which is, they will not be pursuing, they will not be wasting money, they will not be throwing.
Now, did I read correctly? And they said that this training might take about 3 months.
They were vague.
Yeah.
They were real vague about any details at all.
So, at best.
So, time schedule, February, March, April, and in May it should
May,
be
May, June.
They'll find a reason for it not to be implemented then. Mark my words.
Probably right, but I hope we're wrong.
On a related note, in the State of the Union address, mm-hmm. President Obama did address this. He said by the end of the year, nobody will be excluded from serving their country based on
who they love.
Who they love. Good statement. One of the things he did follow up with was he urged campuses to welcome back military recruiters. And a side issue kind of developed from this, and there's a difference between military recruiters and ROTC training. Military recruiters, all schools during the Bush administration, all schools that received federal money were forced to accept military recruiters on campus. And that's lots and lots of schools. I know my school had banned military recruiters for years. Mm-hmm. When they were forced to bring them back, and I spoke to the president of my school about this when this happened, he was real funny about it. He said, yes, we did allow military recruiters on campus. They are in the back of the room, and we put the Gay and Lesbian Alliance at a table next to them.
Wow.
So, you know, that was how we dealt with it. One of the things, though, that came up also was ROTC, which is interesting. A lot of schools during the Vietnam era dropped ROTC. A lot more schools used to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody from the Air Force said that she didn't really expect many schools to be adding ROTC programs. Did the school you went to, did they have ROTC?
Yes, they did.
They did, okay. Mm-hmm. And I suspect that you went to school here in Texas.
I did. Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is one of the southern states are more likely to have it than northern. Our school, though, did have it available. And this is kind of peculiar to areas that are kind of college towns as opposed to Dallas, mm-hmm. which isn't. I mean, we have a couple of schools here, but you don't think it's not a college town. And it's not. Anyway, what they did was there were like 10 to 15 schools in the area. I'm not sure how many participated. But we had a cross-registration program. And you could take classes at another school in the area. And you could take up to 30 credits at other schools.
Mm-hmm.
And cross-registration, everybody did it just because, oh, that'll be fun. I'll go across the river to Troy, New York, and take something at RPI, or I can, you know, I'm thinking of engineering. Our school didn't have engineering, so you'd go to RPI, or I'm thinking of special education, which I did, and I went to the College of St. Rose, and I took some special education courses. Everybody thought it was real appropriate that I was taking classes in special ed. You could take an ROTC course at there were probably, of the 15, maybe two or three schools that offered it, which she's saying that most colleges only have 10 or 20 students participating at their school in ROTC. And if that's true, well, if you're pooling different schools, and some of these schools are small schools, if you're pooling different schools, you'll get 30, 40.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I was about to say, they did have ROTC at my school. I don't remember more than four or five kids who was involved.
And see, if there were several other schools, and you got two from that school, four from that school,
right,
then you're putting together a program that's more meaningful anyway. Why duplicate efforts, especially when there's lots of budget cutting going on? I mean, my school just did away with its French department. Why would you do away with French and add ROTC? You're not going to do that. So it kind of makes sense if schools can pool that.
Mm-hmm.
So pool it.
All right.
You know, I think that's the solution to that one, without it being traumatic or you know, a big deal to put on campus. You know, a controversial program, and it is controversial at a number of schools.
Do you think most of the schools that have banned the military, not ROTC, but the military from recruiting, once the repeal is lifted, do you think they will welcome them back?
I think most will.
I think so, there's
still an issue because the military still doesn't allow transgender people to join the military, and that's included in some schools' policies. And so, therefore, you still have that stumbling block.
Yeah. Are you sure about the transgender thing?
Yeah.
So if someone has had the full operation
and had their birth certificate changed,
why wouldn't they be allowed?
I don't know.
Why
can't you be in the military because you're gay or lesbian?
Well, exactly.
So,
yeah, and I hate to go here, but I'm going to go here. If you're passable and everything we just mentioned, how will they even know? I guess, and they found out, okay, this woman was born genetically a man. Would she be kicked out then?
When you're saying, how would you even know? With how many tens of thousands of gays and lesbians have been thrown out of the military?
That's true.
You say in most of those cases anybody knew?
That's true.
When George was thrown out of the military in the 1950s, and he was arrested after serving for 3 years, a lot of people who come out, you join the military at 18, the average age to come out is 20, 21, 22, don't even know that they're gay, really, or aren't sure. So if you don't know yourself, people don't know. These
right.
are not logical rules.
They're not at all.
Speaking of logical, there was a homecoming. It wasn't really a homecoming. I think it was a winter dance up in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And two lesbians, a lesbian couple, won the royalty title. And so normally couples who go to the dance come in together and they're introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in order to not offend anybody, the principal of the school changed the rules that people will be coming in individually. Well, you wouldn't want to offend everybody who's there who voted for this couple. See, they're going to get offended even though they voted for the couple to be the homecoming. You don't want to offend the people who already voted by letting them appear together. This is the logic here. You got it? Okay.
I think.
So what they're doing is everybody who's going to the dance, and usually you go to a dance as couples,
mm-hmm.
everybody will have to come into this dance individually.
Okay.
You can't come in with your date.
And then hold hands after you get in, both of you get in the building?
I don't know. The laws did not go beyond this. So anyway, the Southern Poverty Law Center, along with several others, are filing a lawsuit. It's an absolute shame that the school and school district have tarnished what should be a joyous celebration through these discriminatory actions. Hopefully they will see the error in their ways and correct them immediately. Do you want to bet they don't? I like that story. story.
Well, we have another one I think is really interesting. It might change some things for future gay, lesbian couples who want to become parents via surrogacy. A judge in Connecticut has ruled that the non-biological father in the surrogacy situation doesn't have to adopt the child. And that is really, that's new, because here in Texas and anywhere.
Okay, explain what you went through.
What we went through.
And I mean start after the child was born. We don't want to hear the details before.
And what we went through is pretty much the same in everywhere else that I know of, and that is when a gay couple goes through a surrogacy, the biological parent obviously doesn't have to go through an adoption. That's already your child biologically. But the non-biological parent has to go through what is called a second parent adoption in order to gain parental rights, and most places, not in Texas, even to get on the birth certificate. That's the way it is. Now, with heterosexual couples, they don't make them do that because they're married.
So if you're married, if the husband goes out, or the couple goes out, finds a surrogate, the husband's sperm is used to impregnate the surrogate woman.
Right.
That baby then goes to the couple.
To the couple.
And the wife doesn't have to adopt the baby.
Not to my knowledge. Not to my knowledge. I've never heard of such a situation. Well, but in the gay world, they're like, as you were saying before the show, everything's always different with us. You know, it's just common knowledge now. The non-biological parent has to go through a second parent adoption. Well, this judge is saying, no, let me read to you exactly. The Connecticut Supreme Court ruled that, let me see here, that because the man had a surrogate agreement with the biological mother, Anthony, the non-biological father, is indeed due full parental rights, and the adoption procedure is unnecessary. And so, you know, this ends a two-year battle. The couple, actually, they're not even American. They live in Holland, but they travel back and forth. And so I don't know if they're legally married. Or I don't know if they're
chances
partnership.
Are if they're in Holland, they are married.
They might be. It doesn't stipulate here. But I thought this was just really, really interesting, and I think it's good news. And I don't know if this will carry any precedent around the rest of the nation when it comes to second parent adoptions. But this is a wonderful
start. Here in Texas, we have an attorney general who's interfering in people's divorces because if we recognize their divorce, we're recognizing that they were married in the first place.
Exactly.
So if we recognize their kids, we're recognizing that they're a couple. So no, it's not going to change elsewhere.
Not going to change
until
at least
the Supreme Court hears it.
And even here in Texas, you know, you can do the second parent adoption, but they're not going to put the non-biological parent on the birth certificate.
Right. So, you actually had the birth certificate changed.
Yes, our birth certificate has been changed. It has both of us on it.
Right.
And
is the mother on the birth certificate?
No, she is not.
She doesn't appear anywhere on
there. Doesn't appear anywhere.
Okay.
And it's funny because it does say father.
Yeah. Oh, that is interesting.
It is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I think it would be perfectly fine and actually reflect the reality of
if it had all
the
three.
Situation. If you had four, you could have a birth father and birth mother, an adoptive mother, or an adoptive first parent and second parent. So birth mother and father, because it would be a male and a female, and then parent one and parent two, and it could be four different people.
I wouldn't have a problem with that either, but here's the nature of adoption everywhere, again, that I know of. I'm not an adoption expert, even when it comes to heterosexual couples. When you adopt a child, the birth certificate is just completely changed. It wipes off the birth mother and birth father and puts on the new adoptive parents. And especially that's done in situations of, because, you know, a lot of adoptions are closed adoptions. The child is not allowed to know who their birth parents are until they turn 18. So,
and even that's changed recently, because it used to be that I know somebody's going through that right now, trying to find his birth parents, or at least birth family, and this is for medical reasons. He recently had a pacemaker put in. He wants to know family health history.
Right.
So he's not doing it, you know, he's advertised, he knows that he was born in the Houston area, he knows several things about who the parents probably were.
Right.
You know, ethnically, that kind of thing.
Right.
But he's in his advertising, he has said to either establish a relationship or not. I simply would like to have a health history. So for those reasons, see, I think part of the reason you take the parents' names off of it and close the adoption because of the stigma, and it's one of those stupid things that should be.
Well,
stigma.
Sometimes the birth parents don't want to be known,
and that's what I'm saying is,
yeah.
Sorry, you got pregnant, you had a kid. There could be reasons that you need to be contacted,
right.
And I guess you have a right to say, I don't want any connection
and many of them do, unfortunately.
But you know what? There are reasons.
There are reasons.
To know.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
Why don't we go to the entertainment report?
Okay. And mentioning babies, Elton John and his partner David Furnish and their new baby boy Zachary made the front cover of U.S. Weekly magazine. Now, as whereas most people would ooh and ah, well, I would anyway. I know about you, David. Would ooh and ah when they see a new baby?
Not when I see Elton John. I don't ooh and ah for Elton John.
You know, most people would be like, oh, ah, you know, when I see the new baby, regardless of who the parents are. It's the innocent picture of two men with a baby apparently offended some at an Arkansas supermarket, and they complained, so the magazine was covered up with the caption that says, Family Shield to Protect Young Harp Shoppers. Harp's is the name of the grocery store.
And Mr. Harp died that week.
Did he?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So then people complained that it was covered up. They complained, and it was all over the internet, all over the news, and the grocery store then reversed the decision and removed the cover.
They did remove it.
The president of Harp says, you know, when we began receiving complaints at our corporate office, we reviewed the magazine in question and removed the shield and are selling the magazine in all of our locations.
Now, like Elton John or not,
yeah.
Like gay people or not,
no,
the picture is two men
with a baby.
With a baby. Period.
Period.
No arms around each other. No kissing.
If anything, if you didn't know,
you would think it's two men.
You would think it was just two men holding a baby.
Right.
You're right. There's no
one man holding the baby. They're not both even holding the baby.
No, they're not. You know, now if you were to take me and Danny's picture, we're both all cuddled up with Gabrielle.
Mm-hmm. This is not that.
It's not that picture. Not that picture. It's as innocuous as you can get.
Right.
I mean, so, and I guess. I mean, we know there are bigots out there. We know there's homophobes, but what? I don't know. This is going to scare the children. Give me a break.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they did. And the president said they only got a complaint about the magazines from just one location. They have 65 locations, and this was just one. And then they covered it up. But I guess they got more complaints about it being covered up. So they
sure got national publicity.
They did.
You never heard of Harps?
I never heard
before.
Of Harps before. Never heard of it. But you know, I will say when I saw the picture, and you know, I'm a Walmart shopper, and I saw it in Walmart, I was like, oh, that's really good, you know, out and open like that. But I never thought that they would actually cover it up. So, but good thing it has been taken down. The nominees for the 83rd Academy Awards have been announced, and the gay dramedy The Kids Are Alright were nominated for four awards, including Best Picture and Best Actress for Annette Bening, who plays a lesbian mom. She was wonderful. I don't think she'll win, but it'd be nice if she did. Actor Mark Ruffalo was also nominated for Best Supporting Actor and released a statement saying that his nomination was a win for marriage equality. I don't see how, but have you seen a movie?
I have not. I haven't seen a single thing that was nominated for anything.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is one to see. I mean, I'm not going to go into it all, but I didn't know. I didn't like the trajectory in which the movie went, but it's still a very good movie. And despite receiving good and rave reviews, and even from myself, the gay comedy I Love You, Philip Morris was shut out completely. And Jim Carrey was great, just great. But nothing for them.
That got some Golden Globes, didn't it?
It did receive some Golden Globe nominations.
Yeah.
But,
just nominations.
Yeah, just nominations, that. Yeah. Jonathan Knight from New Kids on the Block, I guess last week they were doing an interview with Tiffany, the 80s teen sensation Tiffany, and she was talking about how she and Jonathan dated for a little bit, you know, in the 80s. But she said, you know, but he's gone gay now. She's kind of making a crack about it. Mm-hmm. And she said when she first found out, she was hoping that, oh, I hope I didn't do that to him. And so now there's all this internet buzz about him. Oh, my God, Jonathan Knight is gay. And I thought, well, I thought everybody knew that. I remember seeing pictures like in the late 90s of he and his boyfriend. Well, he finally has addressed it, and he says that no one has ever outed him but himself. He did it almost 20 years ago, and I thought everybody knew, too. He said, I never knew that I would have to talk about it all over again just because I reunited with New Kids on the Block. I have lived my life very openly and have never hidden the fact that I am gay. Apparently, the prerequisite to being a gay public figure is to appear on the cover of a magazine with the caption, I am gay. So that's kind of a sting to Ellen and everybody else. Who's
well, she was the first one.
She was the first, but there have been several more. So good for him. Good for him. But you have another entertainment
you know
story.
What, and why don't we take our break? We'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
The KNON Morning Line is your chance to be informed of national issues and take part in local events. Listen and call in Monday through Thursday starting at 7 a.m. You can find an open forum for your voice to be heard on the Voice of the People, KNON 89.3 FM.
I don't listen to Lambda Weekly every Sunday at noon on 89.3 KNON FM Dallas.
It's time for
Those Darn Heterosexuals. The Migros Museum of Contemporary Art in Zurich has a bar of soap on display made from fat obtained from a 2004 liposuction treatment from Italy's homophobic Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi.
Our Father of the Week award goes to Howard Veal of Kent County, Michigan. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison for failure to pay child support. He owes $500,000 to 14 mothers for 23 children he fathered. Authorities think there may be more.
New signs at Chandler, Arizona City Hall warn people not to drink out of the urinals and toilets. Are you serious?
I make these up?
Not to drink out of the urinals and toilets. The heterosexual who explained said that the facilities flush with reused water from the building's cooling system, so by law, the warning must be posted. I mean, we're not cats and dogs. I don't think we need to be told that.
We do if it's not drinkable water, and that's this week's.
Those darn heterosexuals.
I had two more
entertainment stories.
Well, but before we go back to the entertainment, I have two more of those darn heterosexuals. One is our friend Maggie Gallagher. She's the head of NOM, the National Organization
tell who she
for
is.
Marriage. Our buddy Maggie Gallagher, she's the anti-gay activist. She wrote on her on the blog Real Clear Politics that Roe v. Wade, that was the decision that legalized abortion back in the 70s, encourages women to try anal sex, which she describes as dangerous and painful. She says most women don't enjoy that and just do it to please their porn-obsessed boyfriends. Women have less sexual power than they did even a generation ago. Women's bodies are designed for connection, to connect sex, love, and yes, even babies. And that's the latest reason to not have same-sex marriage. From our friend Maggie Gallagher. They're getting desperate, aren't they, in trying to come up with reasons?
They're beyond desperate. It's pathetic.
It's idiotic and pathetic. Okay. A new study at the University of Texas. UT studied 718 young people. They found that most men would drop their girlfriends if their girlfriend dated another guy. So if you're straight... Straight guy, the girlfriend dates somebody else, he'd drop her.
But if she dated or just cheated with somebody.
Okay.
Else.
Okay. However, 50% would take that girl back if she cheated with another woman.
And that doesn't surprise me. What did you say? It was 50%?
50%.
I'm surprised it's not higher.
Higher because it's their fantasy.
That's their fantasy.
Okay. Now, women in this study.
Women are smart.
Yeah. 28%. Would keep their boyfriends around if they hooked up with a girl.
Right.
So 28%, the boyfriend goes out with another girl or cheats with another girl, she'd take him back.
Right.
only 21% would stay with him
if he cheated with another guy. And you know what that says? The women are smart, and that 21% because they're like, okay, I'm not what he wants. He's obviously at least bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or she thinks, okay, he's really gay. And why waste my time?
Exactly.
There has to be a large margin of error here, though, because it would really depend on the situation. I bet the 21% who are saying, yeah, I'd keep him, are 21% who are saying, well, I guess so what? You know, people have sex with men, they have sex with women, who cares?
And
he cheated with another man, so that's not what he really wants.
And it could also be just very logically from the 21% or the 28% that cheating of any kind, they're just not going to tolerate.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
There's a good percentage who are doing that.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who you cheated with. They cheated, so bye-bye.
Right.
So.
Okay, going back to... Entertainment Report. The GLAAD Media Awards nominees were announced.
Mm-hmm.
And these were kind of interesting. Now, the GLAAD Media Awards, we won a GLAAD Media Award back in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But that was when GLAAD honored gay and lesbian programming of any sort. We are no longer eligible for a GLAAD Media Award because we are considered the gay media.
Right.
And what GLAAD does is they monitor other news organizations, mainstream news organizations, that are reporting on the gay media. So most of the awards are things like a television program
that has a
positive portrayal.
Exactly.
Modern Family is nominated again.
Oprah Winfrey show is nominated. Things like
a number
that.
Of shows that, that have good portrayals of gay and lesbian characters. There are some real strange categories this time, though. One is best overall coverage of the gay and lesbian community. Good category, overall coverage, but the nominees are peculiar. The Advocate is nominated. Now, that's certainly the gay press, and they should win because they have best overall coverage.
Right, that's what their whole magazine is based off of.
If it happens, it's going to be in The Advocate in some form or another. Now, The Advocate might say that Lambda Weekly broke such and such news, and they're very good about attributing.
Right.
But if it happened somewhere, it's going to be there. Mm-hmm. So it has to be best covered. They're up against People Magazine and the Journal of Higher Education. How do you compare The Advocate
to the Journal of Higher Education?
Yeah, the Journal of Higher Education might need to be honored for their coverage of bullying in schools. And I hope they did a good job on it. And should be honored. But how do you put that up against best overall? That's not overall coverage. Another category was best blog covering the LGBT community. Again, peculiar category because all five of the nominees are things like Pam's House Blend and Joe My God. And they're all gay blogs.
Hmm.
Well, that's fine if you want to honor gay blogs, but where's the category for gay radio shows? Where's the category for gay newspapers?
Right.
There isn't one. And they're not eligible for nomination in any other categories. It's just real peculiar.
Yeah. It seems like the qualifications for getting a nomination changes by the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Peculiar.
Well, and it's okay if you change qualifications for a category, but then put The Advocate up against Out Magazine,
right.
Not against the Journal of Higher Education. Peculiar
right,
category.
Right.
The census, first census figures are out. And one of the things that they reported were cities that have the highest percentage of same-sex couples raising children under the age of 18. Got it?
So got it.
Gay people with kids.
Yes.
Now, it's only couples, because that was the only thing that you could report. Just like for Miguel and I, who share a house, but that's it, we reported married. Was the only way we could get categories.
That's true.
And it also was whoever went first, that's your ethnicity. If you went first on yours, you're a black household, Laurent. Miguel went first, I'm a Hispanic household. So
and
Miguel,
you're right, we talked about that.
So Miguel and I are a
married gay Hispanic couple.
Gay Hispanic couple. According to the census.
Right.
And we are one of 12,763 same-sex couples living in the DFW area. Now, Dallas came in 12th as far as number in percentages.
This is percentage
of cities with same-sex couples raising kids. Number one was San Antonio. Actually, it's called San Antonio, New Braunfels. How many lesbian couples are living in New Braunfels? But all 10 of them are listed in the 3,484 couples.
Well, first, before you get down to the rankings, most of the cities who made this list are in the South.
Most are in the South.
That is really...
San Antonio, Jacksonville, Raleigh, those are the top three. Las Vegas is next. Houston was number 7.
Mm-hmm.
In Houston, in San Antonio, 33% of gay couples are raising kids. Houston, 27% are raising kids. Dallas, which is number 12, 24% are raising kids. But you know who beat out Dallas? In the number 10 position, Oklahoma City.
That's strange.
Right in Sally Kern's district, I bet.
Probably.
Well, although, you know, you're surprised that you were surprised.
I am so surprised.
And who is the state senator or state house representative for downtown Oklahoma City? Al, who is on our show.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Who is gay.
He is.
Right?
He is. Is Atlanta on the list?
Atlanta's not on the list.
Okay, now that's surprising.
They only released the top 15. I'm sure I could go to the Census Bureau and get a more detailed report here. But here's the other interesting thing. This survey is about the top cities with gay couples who are raising kids.
Mm-hmm.
But it also lists the total number of same-sex couples. Houston has 9,039 same-sex couples. Dallas has 12,793 couples. If you put the number of couples in San Antonio and Houston together, it equals Dallas. That's interesting because we've been saying Dallas is one of the largest gay communities in the country,
mm-hmm.
and Houston's a bigger city, but we're talking about metropolitan areas here,
right.
And Dallas is a bigger metropolitan area. But we've been talking about these, you know, Dallas, without having any concrete figures for it, no census figures, because it's the first time the census has even tried to count any part of the gay community at all. And it is showing that of the top 15, Dallas has the most gay couples. Number two is Houston, and three in this is Riverside, San Bernardino, Ontario, California, which is a metropolitan area about 60 miles
outside of LA.
West of L.A. Most people think of it as just part of the L.A. metropolitan area, but
right.
It's really not. It's its own market. It's about 30 miles west of Palm Springs, so you go through it if you're driving from L.A. to Palm Springs. That's how most people know it if you're not from there. But... Well, Dallas has the most couples out of the top 15 cities with gay couples by percentage.
All right. Now, here's
New York, San Francisco might have more, but not in percentage.
Right. Now, here's the interesting dichotomy. No southern states have any gay-friendly laws. None of them.
Right.
And with the exception of Texas having where we are finally included in the hate crimes.
Well, we've had that for about 10 years. We have a hate crime law.
Uh-huh. Other than that, nothing. I can't... Mississippi, Florida, none of those states, I mean, are gay-friendly states legally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to me, whereas all these other states have higher percentages of gay couples with kids.
Let's do the city that we know the best, probably outside of this state, and that would be Oklahoma City. 2,153 couples total, 546 of them raising kids. If you live in Oklahoma... Chances are you're from there. Most people don't...
Many gay couples move to Oklahoma.
There aren't a whole lot of people who are living in New York and saying, you know, New York's nice, but where I really want to live is Oklahoma. You know, theater is good here, but, you know,
right.
I want my wind sweeping down the plane. Right? Okay. So most people are not going to say that. Most people aren't moving there. You don't... I guess some people are transferred there for jobs, but if you're looking for a job, you tend to go to a bigger city, not to Oklahoma City. If you're living there, chances are you were raised there, you have family there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really not saying it's not a nice place to live. I'm saying it's more of a family-oriented, for gay people, place to live. It's not the city that you escape to. One of the reasons Dallas has such a large gay population, being centrally located, gay people come here, and it's been the mecca for West Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. It's where you go to. But Oklahoma is where you stayed, and if you stayed, you tend to have a partner, you tend to have a nice home life, you are more likely to be the type of couple that would have kids.
So you think it is.
Oklahoma pattern more than I do, Laron. And I do think that's what it is.
Oh, boy. Well, I don't know. That just boggles my mind. Because, you know, northern states have much more gay-friendly or family laws than we do, yet we have more kids. Seven.
Oh, okay. Laron is giving me hand signals as far as what song to play at the end of the show, and I couldn't see he was doing it behind his mic.
So I am part of one of the 12,000, you said?
Well, you're one of the 12,763 couples that the census counted, but so are Patty and Aaron, and so are Miguel and I. Legitimate or not. And I know a number of people who are living with somebody else, and that's not legitimately partnered. It's two people who are living together who wanted to be counted as gay.
Right.
And why did we do that? Because the Census Bureau told us we could.
Right.
Specifically, they told us that is perfectly acceptable.
It did.
But you're one of 3,178 same-sex couples raising kids
in
the age of 18 in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Hmm.
So,
interesting.
Congratulations on being one of 3,178 people.
Well, thank you.
In the Dallas area.
I'm a rarity.
You are a rarity. Real quick, we only have a minute left. The Hawaii Senate this week passed a civil union bill. It's supposed to go to the House this week. Neil Abercrombie, who's the new governor there, has said, well, he campaigned on the issue, and he said he would certainly sign the bill. He also appointed a lesbian to the state Supreme Court. He said this is the first time that the Supreme Court in Hawaii has had a lesbian. As far as I know, it's the only state court anywhere that's ever had an open lesbian. Supreme Court, three gay people. No, we don't know that. Sotomayor, Kagan, and Souter have never come out, so I'm not saying that they're gay. I'm just not saying that they're not. But we don't know. There are no other out Supreme Court justices
that we know of
any other state that we know of, so that would be a first. Mm-hmm. Chile, people are suing for civil unions. They're basing their lawsuit on Article 1 of their Constitution, which says men are born free and equal in dignity and rights.
And in France, the France Supreme Court ruled that upheld their ban on same-sex marriage. So much for the place of love.
And that's all we have time for this week. Next week we have Candy Markham, who's with us at the Pledge Drive, and Patty will be back with us, and we'll see you next week on Lambda Weekly.
I've been wrong so many times before, broke my back when